I'm Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. I am speaking with Scott Woods, who is a Columbus area poet and event organizer, and also most recently the founder of Streetlight Guild. Thanks for coming in today, Scott.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what actually is Streetlight Guild?
Streetlight Guild is a nonprofit organization that I created to put on performance art events and all sorts of art types, cultural events. So we're talking music, poetry, art exhibits, and I've been doing all of that for a solid year now. So that's been going great.
You've held events already at Streetlight Guild. When is the organization's official community opening?
So the opening date, the first event, will be on Saturday, June 22nd.
And what will that event on June 22nd be?
It's the Ogumeji duo with Mark Lomax and Eddie Bayard. I always like to start things with drums. It's a sort of an African tradition. And so I started Holler with Mark and Eddie. And so I'll start Streetlight with Mark and Eddie.
Backing up a bit, what gave you the idea to found Streetlight Guild?
So I had done the 31-day series Holler featuring Columbus Black artists in 2017. And, that was a different event every day or night of that month. And at the end of that, I thought, wow, this would be really cool to do all the time, right? And at some point in the middle of doing that, I thought, this would be a great job if I could swing it. And so after some more thinking and pondering and recuperating, I said, yeah, I think I can make a go of this. And so that was prior to actually thinking about what a venue might do, but I just wanted to put on events, and so that's what I was doing. I had obviously done many years of poetry programming before that, but, you know, doing all of the multimedia stuff was really awesome, and there was so much community in it, and the city seemed to really like it, and so I just pursued that.
You mentioned the years of poetry programming that you've done. You host the Writer's Block Poetry Night at Cafe Kerouac. How long have you been doing that?
20 years.
Yeah. I didn't realize it was that long.
Yeah, second oldest open mic in town.
Where is Streetlight Guild located?
So the building is at 1367 East Main. So it's between like the Miller-Kelton stretch there.
Did you kind of set out to find a venue in that particular part of town, or was it just kind of circumstances?
No, it just turned out that way, actually. So the story behind the building is while I was doing Holler, Glenn Kaiser, a lawyer who had been coming out to the open mics on Wednesdays, really enjoyed all the stuff that I was doing there and outside of that. And he asked, what would it take for me to do that all the time? And I said, oh, a venue. And so he said, okay, well, what if I bought you a venue and you just did it? And I was like, well, you know, Glenn, sure, why not? Yeah, whatever that means, you know. And he immediately started looking for addresses and things. So he would just email me these addresses, these random addresses. What does this look like? How does this building look? How does this? You know, I had a few stipulations, but I didn't really take it that seriously at first. But then as he continued to do it, I was like, well, that place is kind of cool, but almost not quite. And we did that for about 6 or 7 months or so. And then finally, we were just about to stop looking for buildings and talk about maybe building something small. And then we found the place that we have now. And I said, yeah, actually, that building is familiar to me. I know that building. Let's do that. And so that's how that happened, actually.
Okay, so really, then you just kind of fell on your lap, in a sense.
Well, the opportunity. I always wanted to do a venue, but I just never really knew how that was going to happen. And I was kind of pursuing it in my head, but not really, you know, doing the legwork. And, Glenn just, he made all that go away, all the excuses. And it took us a year to get the building ready. So we're just now, you know, past all of our inspections and all of our permits and all of that good stuff. And so now it's all about making it look presentable, and which it, you know, more or less does now. And yeah, so here we are.
I looked at your website, Streetlight Guild's website, which has the mission statement for the organization. And the mission statement calls Streetlight Guild a performing arts organization that curates events across disciplines with an emphasis on Columbus-based original and underrepresented voices. Could you unpack that a little bit for us?
Sure. So the Columbus-based piece and the underrepresented voices piece are kind of two different things, but connected, obviously. speaking on the first one, the Columbus piece is about culture. Columbus, in my experience and history, traditionally kind of battles with its identity versus its culture. And so I really wanted to create something that would just answer the culture question, right? I wasn't so much worried about identity. Identity can be bought. Culture has to be created. And so that's what I was interested in. That's what I'd been doing for years with poetry. And so I wanted to kind of expand that. The underrepresented voices part comes from my experience in the Black art scene. And that's pretty broad, but the Black art scene here is very broad. And there's so many good artists here and creative minds here. Really, some really world-class talent that doesn't really have an opportunity to do much of anything. And of course, that expands into other communities as well. But my experience obviously is predominantly with the, you know, with the Black art scene. And so I said, well, it would be really cool if, you know, we kind of put the effort to not only just making people aware of that, which is kind of what Holler did, but expounding on that and growing that and, you know, being an incubator for future people to do that and be that. And so that's where Streetlight Guild kind of steps in. The idea for the programming, it's not exclusively Black programming. My logic with the booking is, my goal with the booking is to hit an inverse of what America's population is. So if I'm doing the booking, I want 13% of the entertainment to be white, and then everything else can be any other color or whatever. And, you know, lots of little political and cultural Easter eggs, I guess I'll say, are kind of infused in the programming and in the philosophy behind the programming.
I was intrigued particularly by the statement that you perceive here in Columbus or have perceived mm-hmm. this battle between Columbus's identity mm-hmm. and Columbus's culture. Could you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah. So living in Columbus, if you're not rich and or white, can be challenging, to say the least. A lot of issues here, right? We have all the same issues that every growing or big city has. And in my experience, and beyond, I mean, it's not just my experience. This is the thing that, you know, people in my position talk about a lot. So it's not just my experience. But, you know, we're always kind of going back and forth on what Columbus is. And even people who are not like us are kind of having that conversation. They're having a different version of that conversation, right? They're like, well, what is there to do in Columbus, or Columbus is boring, or blah, blah. Which is like, to me, that's a pretty ridiculous sentiment at this point, right? There's so much to do. You really can't not do something here. You have to like decide to not do something here. You may not like what it is, but you can't say that there isn't anything. But at the same time, there's a cultural piece to that, right? It's not, culture isn't just a to-do list of activities. It's not a bar scene, right? That's not culture per se. And when we looked at things that kind of traditionally define culture, like art, like music, theater, so on and so forth, I knew that those experiences were happening across the board in terms of communities, but they were not represented, right, in the larger scheme of what people were aware of in Columbus. And so I, you know, it's my job and some other people that are kind of on the same mission to change that awareness piece, right? To let people know that, you know, we are doing this stuff. We have been doing this stuff for years. We're very good at these things. This is the culture piece that you're missing. And the city, you know, to its credit, and I mean arts organizations, civic organizations, they've noticed, they've taken notice, right? You know, there's definitely a sprinkling of that talent here and there in places that it wasn't before, and people taking meetings that they weren't taking before and that kind of thing. So, you know, we're all kind of, I should say, on our side of the fence, we're working to build a culture and kind of learn the ropes about turning that into something viable. You know, how do we turn the thing that we love to do into a job or a career or a venue? And the city, on the other side of the table, and I say the city, meaning the infrastructure of the city, as well as some of the communities that are, you know, normative, let's say, you know, they're looking like, okay, we have all of the infrastructure, we have all the resources, but it doesn't feel very representative or very cool. How can we change that? And so the reality that we're trying to create is in the middle, right? And how well we do that is the thing that needs to be answered.
Your website also implies at least, that Streetlight Guild aims to curate and nurture an authentic Columbus-based culture.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But, you know, there is a lot going on in Columbus, and I think there's a lot of art going on in Columbus, much of it created by Columbus-based artists. So could you talk about your vision of what an authentic Columbus-based culture, as you call it, would be?
Sure. So going back to the previous point about identity versus culture, Columbus is really great at identity. You know, we like to advertise and sell that Columbus is a certain type of place. But culture is very different than identity, right? Culture is, you know, is representative of the city's values, is representative of the history, it's representative of its commitment to building and creation of things like that. And so when you talk about what Columbus identity is and what Columbus culture is, the first one is pretty easy to identify because it's what's on all the pamphlets and the television commercials and whatnot. But the culture piece is really, really hard to nail down. Now, any place naturally has some version of culture, but if you can't really put your finger on it, it begs the question, is that an actual authentic culture to that place, to those people? And I think the answer for us is we don't have that, not in any discernible way, right? Which is not to say elements or pieces of it don't exist, but they're not connected and they're not aware of themselves as culture, as Columbus-centric culture. They don't identify or represent Columbus, right? And so to me, and when I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking about places like New Orleans or Chicago or, you know, or what used to be San Francisco, you know. So these places that had identifiable cultures and they were clearly of that place, of that history, of their values. And so to me, it was very difficult to parse out current culture from previous examples, right? So yes, you could look back and say, well, here are examples of what I think are Columbus-centric culture. At the same time, to me, the challenge was to figure out what that is now and what it could be. And so I just said, well, I'm just going to create it, whatever that is. And I don't put a lot of parameters on what that needs to be. To me, that's part of the fun, is to build it, right? And to let artists and people who are creative and doing things to define that. But you need to challenge them to do it with Columbus in mind. You know, a band that just plays covers isn't a Columbus-centric band, right? You want a band that's saying something about what it means to be of Columbus, a citizen of Columbus. That's way more interesting to me. That's really what I'm trying to drill at. You know, anybody can get a band a gig, but I want to get them a gig defining who and what we are as a city and as a community, or as their place in those things if they don't feel a part of that. That's way more interesting to me, and that has way more value, I think, to our community than whether or not somebody's a really great piano player. So essentially, Streetlight Guild wants to draw a line in the sand and say, look, I don't know what you were defining it as before. I'm not dismissing any of that. I'm saying I want the question to go away. And so I'm all about commissioning, creating, hiring, booking, gigging, whatever, people who are interested in doing that, in creating art and creating shows and exhibits and all of that that speak to something definitively Columbus. And again, not always Black, right? And so that's what I'm poking at. That's the animal that I'm poking.
When you say you want the question to go away,
yeah.
What's the question?
What is Columbus culture? We may not ever be able to say, well, it has these particular statutes, or, you know, but we can point to it and say, well, that is definitely Columbus culture. Mm-hmm. That is definitely Columbus culture.
There's a paragraph or so of text on your website that talks about artistic freedom, in essence. Mm-hmm. In order to create authentically, you really must be free to do so.
Yeah, so artistic freedom is extremely important to me as an artist, but also as a curator. If I ask you to do a thing, or if I book you to do a thing, I really only want you to be worried about doing the thing. I don't want you to be worried about getting the sound system, finding a venue, advertising. I take all that on. And I try to remove all of the barriers that a creative person might need to realize whatever it is they're trying to do. And that's really more rare than it should be, right? That should be the way it always works. I got a space. It's not the biggest space in the world, but I have a space. You know, it's got all this nice new stuff in it. It's got this great gallery in it. It's got this great performance space in it. Do what you do. I'll take care of all the rest is taken care of. Just do what you do. And I, as an artist, I know what artists want, what they need. And having done shows for, you know, over 20 years of all stripe, you know, I'm very familiar with what it takes to put on shows. You know, and all I ask is that you just be the dopest version of yourself that you can be.
You mentioned at the top of this interview that there are some aspects of living in Columbus that are challenging for you and other people of color. You also said that your programming for Streetlight Guild will address some issues of race and culture here in Columbus. So could you talk a little bit more about how you see Streetlight Guild participating in that conversation?
Columbus, you know, for the 890,000 people who live here, Columbus is roughly 40 or 44% not white. But you wouldn't know that, right? You wouldn't know that from any of its cultural offerings. You wouldn't know that from its, you know, from its values, from the way that it kind of interacts with its communities, the political interests that seem to be driven. They don't seem to reflect that, you know, 40% of the city is not white. That's really important. And that's kind of, I mean, it's really just kind of a microcosm of how the country operates, right? Which is dangerous. And it's a horrible way to live, to always be looking over your shoulder and wondering, you know, is any of this working in my interest, or is it targeting me, or whatever. So when you feel like you're not being addressed or catered to, or that your actual city or community is driving you out, right? If you feel that that's the reality, or if you know that that's the reality, it becomes very difficult to spend a lot of time and energy on, you have to reprioritize things like culture, right? Other things that aren't just music and art become important as well. Cuisine is part of culture. Health is part of culture. Values are part of culture. And so it becomes really important to preserve those things. And we need spaces to do that, right? But you can only go in spaces where you feel comfortable exercising those things. And so, you know, the institutions and the organizations that exist, you know, they're predominantly white. That, you know, that's no secret there. But we all, you know, but to change that dynamic, it's not as simple as hiring a black piano player for a gig. Right? Like, that's a nice gesture, but that probably won't change anything. We have to deconstruct the way that we make those decisions, right? Diversity isn't enough. You have to think and believe differently about what diversity is. It can't be a token gesture. It can't just be a gig. If you're not giving people agency to create, to think, to envision, to bring value to the table, their values to the table, then you're always just, you know, hiring for the gig, you know, and that's not really what we're looking for. It will take that if that's what you're offering. But we're always looking for more. We always want to be not just at the table, but we really would like to own a table. It would be nice if you came to our table once in a while. You know, and it's okay if we have a couple of tables going. That's okay. You know, as long as everyone understands that you can eat at all the tables, that's fine. But if we always have to come to your table, then we're always going to ever eat what you eat and think what you think and do what you want us to do. To me, the answer is not bigger is better or to move downtown or to shake all the hands. That's not how that works for me. That's not building culture. That's building relationships. That's building opportunities for culture. I'm very fortunate to be able to walk into meetings with organizations and leaders and whatnot with the understanding that I'm going to do what I'm going to do anyway. What do you want, right? Mm-hmm. It's a very different relationship than most artists and creatives have, and organizations, frankly, have with those same organizations and institutions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I walk in knowing that I already have some place to do a thing, mm-hmm. that I already have an audience, that I already have the ear of a community, that I already have the resources. You know, all my stuff is paid for. So what do you want from us now? You know, how do you want it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how much control do I get to maintain on that?
Mm-hmm.
And if the answer is unsatisfactory, nothing doesn't happen. And we need to be strong enough to, but it's very hard to convey that to an artistic scene or community who's maybe starving, right? It's very hard to tell them, hey, stay strong. You have the support of them, because that's not all the reality, right? But hopefully Streetlight Guild, you know, they will see that as a place that has their back. Like, okay, well, if none of these places will give me a show, maybe this place will. At the very least, it starts to remove away some of the excuses or maybe some of the potential reasons why that show isn't happening somewhere else,
mm-hmm.
you know. And let's make no mistake, you know, I talk a good game, you know, but it took like a rich white guy to go, look, I just want you to do this thing. I don't have any say
sure.
in it. I don't want any. He's like, look, I just want to do this good thing. I want to do one good thing here. I have all these resources. I see you doing this great thing. I want to see you do more great things. That is so not the way things work, right? That just doesn't happen. And so I totally am cognizant at all times, you know, of my position and how different it is from the way things work. And I'm always, again, you know, equally cognizant that, you know, people have to eat, people have to live, you know, people have to drive cars, you know, they're not going to quit their day jobs, most of them, doing this stuff. And that's, you know, and that's not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the goal is to make you contribute, not feel like you're contributing, but to actually be contributing, to actually be building culture.
Mm-hmm.
Culture, and I keep saying culture like it's just arts, and it's not. But even if it were, culture, you know, the reason why I keep harping on culture all of the time is because culture is exceedingly necessary for a productive and functional society.
Well, and it's exceedingly necessary in and of itself. But what I also kind of hear you saying is that not just culture is necessary, but our understanding of what culture really is and all of the various dimensions of it.
Absolutely. The thing about that is that the artistic aspects of culture are important, one, because they are art, but also because they occasionally, if not frequently, provide opportunity to speak to the larger world, right? And so I think that's kind of, we all kind of assume that that's what's happening, but I don't think we really understand how valuable that is. And we live in a time, particularly now, where we don't even trust, you know, things that we used to trust. We don't trust the media. We don't trust newspaper. We don't trust news, right? And so at least with art, you can at least know that you're hearing something from someone who was probably living a thing, who was in a place at a time, and the thing that they're saying is reflective of that. You know, that is its own authentic thing. And so Streetlight Guild frequently, you know, provides a way for them to do that. And then also, you know, get paid, be seen, get in the paper, whatever. You know, those are awesome things, you know?
It sounds like your vision of Streetlight Guild is that it will become a center for, maybe even a catalyst for, authentic Columbus culture. What does that mean in very practical terms for Columbus artists? To present their work there, is there sort of an open call? How does somebody get involved with Streetlight Guild?
So, yeah, just reach out to me. You know, it's mostly a one-man operation. But a lot of the stuff, especially in the venue, will be things that I conceive of. So they're either artists that I pick to do certain things, or in the past, like, you know, I've created shows, art shows, let's say, where I had a theme, and then I would invite artists either as an open call or handpicked and say, contribute a piece to this exhibit. And the website traditionally has artist calls. So anybody who can see the call and think that they fit the call are welcome to get in touch. That has happened in the past. You know, I think it's important to kind of stay open, even if I'm the one who's going to be coming up with most of the ideas, you know. Not all of them, you know. I don't think I have all the answers either. And so I leave some part of the resources to whatever comes down the pike, so to speak. But yeah, they just reach out and, you know, look for the calls and that kind of thing. We're not, you know, we're extremely transparent about the processes that way.
And you mentioned the June 22nd grand opening event. You also just a moment ago made passing reference to things coming down the pike. So what other kinds of programming can we expect in the near future at Streetlight Guild?
So the first floor of the building is a performance hall. The second floor of the building is an art gallery. And so there will always be something in the art gallery. That's my intent. And so I have a couple of those shows already kind of blocked out on the calendar through the year. The performances will happen, obviously, with more frequency, and so I'm still kind of pounding out that schedule. But, you know, having just gotten the opening date lined up, now I have dates that I can officially go to people and say, I need you. The goal is to be doing it at least 3 to 5 days a week, something in that building. I can't wait for people to see it. That's pretty much where it's at.
Scott Woods, you are a Columbus poet and event organizer, and you are also the founder of the new Columbus cultural nonprofit organization, Streetlight Guild. Thank you for your time.
Oh, thank you so much.